So I would also like to start by thanking the organizers for inviting me to this really challenging and timely kind of manifestation. Migration today is definitely kind of founding characteristic of the global situation. It is not the first time in history we lived through other moments that were characterized by huge movements of people. But maybe today what is characteristic is the fact that migration is at the center of some of the most intense conflicts and struggles of our world. And in a way, migration provides us with an angle from which we can kind of politically read the whole spectrum of conflicts that characterize our age, also in the case in which migrants and refugees are not directly, explicitly involved in these struggles. This is true not only in Europe, not only in the West. I think this is a point that was made by Nanna in her introductory remarks, and I find it very important. It's not only the southern borders of Europe, it's not only the border between Mexico and the US. Migration, movements and struggles of migration are at the center of intense conflicts and struggles elsewhere in the world. Just think of the border between India and Bangladesh. Just think of the border between Thailand and Birmania, or of the racist attacks against Nigerians in South Africa. And of course, it would be easy to multiply the instances. So the aim of this first session about migration is to establish a kind of shared terminology. And I will start precisely with the word migration. Again, I agree with Nanna when she emphasized that there is a kind of difference between talking about a generic human mobility as characteristic of the human condition and talking about migration in historically specific ways. So I will talk about modern migration, about the multifarious and heterogeneous practices of mobility within a field that is dominated by the state, by empire and its multiple mutations, and by capital. Together with many scholars and activists, I am convinced that there is a need to go beyond, first of all, analytically, the binary between forced and voluntary migration. Forced migration has always been part and parcel of the modern history of migration, at least since the Middle Passage. More generally, I propose to analyze modern migration from the angle of what I would call a double pincer. This means that migration takes place in modernity within a field that is shaped and limited by the action of the state on the one hand, the nation state, its articulation with imperial forms, and by capital on the other hand. So since the relevance of the state, of its codes, and grip on the bodies of migrants is well known and often emphasized in critical studies and in activism, let me say just a couple of words on capital and migration, which means on capital and labor mobility. Labor mobility has always been for capital both an indispensable resource, there is no capitalism without migration, and a threat. This is precisely where capital articulates with the state, as well as with the imperial forms of governance, in order to produce an ordered and well-governed mobility. And this is true at least since the bloody legislation against vagabondage described by Marx in his analysis of primitive accumulation in capital. So the form of disordered and governed mobility, of course, changed in history as the capitalist mode of production itself profoundly changes. But at least since the late 19th century, what remains characteristic of migration is precisely the tension between the exclusionary dimension of the nation state and capital's need for labor mobility. It is within the field crisscrossed by this tension that migration and its management take place. But within this field of tension, migrants' practices of mobility are characterized by an excess, by a structural excess, which means that they are not reducible to the ordered and governed mobility I just mentioned. And this is what the autonomy of migration approach always emphasized since the late 1990s. It is also what makes migration, as Bernd Kasparek was saying, a social and even political movement able to challenge the national norm and to potentially become an unruly element for capital. And it is again focusing on this moment of excess that it makes sense to talk about struggles of migration, meaning struggles that kind of structurally crisscross the fabric of migration, understood as a social movement. And in these struggles of migration, processes of subject formation are always at stake. Subjectivity itself, in its mutations, is always at stake. I think there is an important point to be made with respect to what I was saying before about the autonomy of migration approach. This approach has often been criticized for a kind of romanticizing migration. For presenting migration as a positive movement and experience. The autonomy of migration approach had its relevance in the critique of the victimization of migrants, particularly implied in humanitarianism. And this remains very important. Nevertheless, I am convinced for many years now that in order to kind of reframe and continue to develop the autonomy of migration approach, the criticism I was mentioning has to be taken into account. And nowadays, the autonomy of migration approach has to account for what I called before the double pincer of migration in its contemporary shape, as well as for the kind of structural factors behind migration. But let's watch now a very short video that is particularly interesting.
La televisión más abierta que nunca.
Grandes retos de los niños migrantes centroamericanos que buscan llegar a los Estados Unidos es superar los peligros que supone la difícil ruta que realiza el tren que se conoce como La Bestia. Aquí le vamos a mostrar toda esta larga trayectoria.
Otro nombre le queda mejor a este tren carguero que entre sus fauces tritura el llamado sueño americano. Su presencia hace retumbar el suelo, para muchos sin retorno. Es el tren de la muerte, al que los migrantes llaman con una mezcla de temor y respeto, la bestia. Arriba de su lomo, no se necesitan papeles para llegar a los límites con Estados Unidos. La ruta natural es la del Golfo, más peligrosa pero mucho más corta. 1,000 kilómetros desde Arriaga, Chiapas, hasta Ixtepec, Oaxaca, donde cambian de tren para seguir por Veracruz hasta llegar a Tamaulipas, en un tiempo aproximado de 10 a 15 días.
Es duro el viaje por los asaltos que tenemos de las maras, por los secuestros y porque se ven muchas injusticias en el camino, como violaciones, violan a las muchachas. Se suben, nos disparan, a veces nos dicen, ah, sabes volar, y te tiran del tren. Si no traes dinero para reportar, te cobran $100 de cuota.
La otra ruta, la del Pacífico, también conocida como la Ruta del Infierno, tiene una extensión de más de 2.600 kilómetros pasando por Oaxaca, bordeando Veracruz y siguiendo por el Estado de México, Hidalgo, Jalisco, San Luis Potosí y zonas desérticas de Sonora y Baja California, en un tiempo aproximado de 20 a 25 días.
Hablamos de la bestia, yo siempre digo que la bestia es el que provoca todo este crimen organizado, el descontrol, la poca seguridad.
Otro de los peligros que se corren a bordo de la bestia son los descarrilamientos. Tan solo en las últimas 4 semanas, el tren ha sufrido 6 percances. Raúl Pérez Robledo es un migrante que sobrevivió al descarrilamiento de 2 vagones que transportaban trigo en Tapanatepec, Oaxaca, hace apenas una semana.
Well, I was talking about romanticization of migration. It is definitely impossible to romanticize such conditions as the ones experienced by Central American migrants on the freight train La Bestia, the Beast. This train is fairly well known among people interested in migration. This train is notorious. It leaves from the southern border of Mexico, from Chiapas, and it travels north along the Gulf of Mexico toward the US. Just to give you an idea, according to estimates, each year between 500,000 and 500,000 migrants, above all from Central America, use the train, La Bestia, to travel north. Murders and kidnappings, exploitation, rape, and enslavement are daily expressions of the structural violence that shape the path of migrants from the southern to the northern border of Mexico. And you are also kind of confronted along this path with several instances of complicity between narcos, drug dealers, organized drug dealers, and the state. The condition of migrants' mobility have become even more dangerous since the adoption of the Plan Frontera Sur, the southern border plan by the Mexican government in 2014. But nevertheless, a new generation of Mexican migration scholars and activists are starting to investigate the practices of mobility of Central American migrants through Mexico from the angle of the autonomy of migration approach, precisely looking at the stubbornness of migrants, at their struggles and resistance. Investigating La Bestia sheds light on several aspects that are relevant for the understanding of contemporary migration beyond the particular context of Mexico. And let me just mention three of these aspects. The first one has to do with the mobility of the border. Mexican critical migration scholars and activists talk about a vertical border, talk about the transformation of the whole territory of Mexico into kind of borderland. And this also means the spread of conflicts, struggles, forms of domination associated with the border beyond the literal border. The second aspect is that the joint mobilities of commodities and migrants on the train, La Bestia, points to the relevance of logistics in contemporary migration and migration management. And just think, to give you a hint of what I mean, maybe later we can discuss about that, of the language that is used nowadays in order to reorganize, to talk about the reorganization of the border regime in Europe. Hotspots, corridors, platforms, hubs, logistical kind of words. The third aspect that we can see in a particular light looking at La Bestia is the growing relevance of what scholars used to call migration industry, which very often takes here the form of the violent intervention of illegal actors. Talking about migration industry, usually the reference is to the multifarious actors who are involved in migration management from the angle of an interest in the commercialization of migration. In Mexico, this kind of commercialization of migration takes the violent form of the intervention of organized crime. Just to conclude, I was talking before of the double pincer of migration and of the ordered and governable mobility that it aims at producing. We have several examples of this in history. Just think of the US in the early 20th century, when a huge flow of migrants, basically from Eastern and Southern Europe, which played key roles in the processes of mass industrialization, was met by a nativist backlash, or of the guest workers regime in West Germany since 1955, within which racism and refusal were key to kind of discipline migrant industrial workers. It's easy to see that such instances belong to history, of course, that both contemporary migration and migration regimes are completely different. To put it very shortly, we are confronted nowadays with turbulent migration and with processes of increasing flexibilization of economy and labor markets. But at the same time, while these processes of flexibilization foster a flexibilization of migration policies, we are also confronted with Donald Trump. We are also confronted with a violent nationalist backlash against migration in many parts of the world, including Europe. So how to make sense of this? I think this is a good question. I leave it open for our discussion in these 2 days. Thank you very much.